Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and in today's episode, I have a really special guest. His name is Marcos Franchini, and he's from Brazil. I'm super excited to talk with him and listen to his opinion about the future of architecture. Let's get right started and enjoy listening. Okay, hello, Marcos. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm very happy having you on the show. How are you?
Hello. Nice morning for who are listening to us. It's a pleasure being with you. I was really happy with your invitation. And let's do it.
I'm really happy you said yes.
It's really nice. I mean, I was quite surprised and happy also when sometimes our work goes overseas, because we are here now. We are a small studio from Brazil, Belo Horizonte, our state in Minas Gerais. So we are really a small studio, and it's really nice when our works make sense for people overseas.
Yes, you already mentioned it. Who is Marcos Franchini? Did I say it right?
Yes, it's okay. I mean, it's just like as I'm speaking English with an accent or mixture of accent. My name is Marcos Franchini, because I have my grandfather, his family were Italian, they came here. So in Brazil, it's also this mixture of people. So there are a lot of names of family, just like Japanese, Italian, French, even German. They are all over our country. It's really nice. So it's Marcos Franchini.
Okay, perfect. Sounds really good.
Nice.
Please introduce your studio.
All right. I'm a freelance architect since my graduation. I have collaborated with several. During my graduation, I've been in, I don't know, 4 studios, and one of them for more than 4 years. I mean, I spent 1 year after my graduation with this family. I mean, it is also a small family studio. It's Silvio Podestà. I worked with him for 4 years. After I have collaborated with a studio, it's called Rizoma. They made a lot of galleries in Inhotim. It's a museum, but a landscape, also site-specific museum. So I have collaborated with them. But once you have also your social life and everything, I mean, I couldn't be just like not sleeping, I mean. So I had also my own projects with his home and a lot of things and researches. So I decided, no, I will be at my own. But in fact, even if I'm on my own, all during this last 11 years, I've been working with other people. I mean, designers, other architects, artists, video makers, photographers. I'm always dealing with another people. I mean, when we are designing, and also because we enjoy not making imposition for the clients. So we try to make it with the clients. So it's a little bit of our philosophy, but our studio deal with residential projects, school projects. Sometimes we participate in competitions, because sometimes we want to make not manifestos, but go further in some aspects. And this, it's really nice because it's open and I can just like collaborate with foreign friends, architects from France. I have some relationships also in US. So it's really...
So it's a lot of interdisciplinary works.
Exactly.
That you do.
Exactly.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. In general, we start the interview with some warm-up questions about yourself.
Nice. All right.
Doesn't have to do so much with architecture. Are you ready for some personal questions?
Oh, of course.
First one would be, with whom would you like to do a project? Doesn't matter if this person is still alive or already dead. With whom would you do a project?
I don't know.
Do you have an idol or something?
No, I mean, when we are younger, we have just like you get in love with a lot of architects. I mean, one of the first books my dad gave me was just like Gaudí, Antoni Gaudí. So why not? I mean, how could it be making a project with this genius? Or maybe because once I even found Oscar Niemeyer's office and his wife, she answered and said, oh no, today he's really busy and he cannot answer. But I don't know, I have just like several idols in architecture, but also in music. I don't know what would be the best answer. Maybe, I mean, even Picasso, you know, I would like to, mm-hmm. to chat or to discuss about architecture, or not even about life itself, why not? But yeah, it's quite complicated. I mean, I would like to have more time. I mean, if I could just like travel in time, I would enjoy having this chat with just like Gaudí, Oscar Niemeyer, and also with artists and several persons. I mean, there's a lot of idols. I mean,
I don't know whom I would choose, because if you just have one chance, I don't know. But that's the next question. If you could develop a skill overnight, what would you wish for?
Time traveling. Yeah, probably this. When I was a young kid, sometime I made this, not a dream in real life, but what would be just like freezing time and to have more time, to be with my parents or to be there skateboarding with friends or to be more present, I mean. But I don't know if it's just like traveling through time, because I know there's a lot of consequence. I mean, when we see those TV shows about traveling in time, sometimes it could be dangerous. But I don't know, freezing time or to be more present, it would be nice without aging, I mean, because freeze time and you'll be present. You will not age, we will get this knowledge. But I don't know, could you imagine just like being a kid with a knowledge of an old person? It would be a boring kid, I mean, I don't know.
How nice it would be just to freeze moments.
Yes.
Because the moment is so nice and you just want to hold on to it. So it would be really nice to freeze it and just have it a little bit longer.
Being more present could be a skill to develop, not only me, but communities.
What's your favorite hobby besides architecture?
All right. Being with my dogs, they are really cool, but it has almost 11, there's maybe 12, oh no, there's at least 10 years I'm doing yoga. So I like to stretch, but I really like to be just like present. And it's just like a rendezvous or encounter with yourself, I mean. During this daily routine of, you have so many information, sometimes we don't have time for ourselves. So doing yoga, it's nice because it's not all about only meditation, but it's also having a time to meet with yourself, your inner being. I mean, it's not really easy to, sometimes there's a lot of thoughts that comes, that passed and that goes. But it's nice to be with myself. I mean, it's difficult.
Know what you mean.
It's difficult.
Did you get to that point? Did you actually made it?
I mean,
because I tried it a lot of times and there's always something getting in between and I'm looking to the phone or I'm looking there or whatever.
Nowadays, I believe it's just like a tool for achieving some things. And I really, if I spend just like 1 or 2 weeks without doing anything related to yoga, I say, no, there's something not working. So and then I see the agenda, I had so many meetings that I couldn't do yoga. So I haven't been in mantra, nirvana, achieving the nirvana, not at all. But I mean, So it's ant work. I mean, each day doing a little bit or twice a week. And you see there's a lot of progress about doing it.
That's a good point. Maybe I should try it even harder to get to that point and do it regularly.
Try. I have a good teacher, a friend of mine. He speaks even better than I English. So he will be a nice teacher for you if you want his contact.
You should give me his number and then I will do my yoga classes.
I will.
You founded your office in 2012, right?
Yeah. I mean, being on my own, only on my own, 2012, but doing freelance jobs, it started in 2010, but 2012, it's the number.
And what was your philosophy then and what is it now, if it changed? Do you have a different view on certain aspects than in 2012?
Yeah. At the time, I had not many projects. not many things to deal with, but it makes, I mean, it was really a good, when I come back in time, 2012, some friends of mine, they were graphic designers, they told me, come to work with us, because now you're doing freelance jobs, and you don't have to pay a rent, just be with us, but once a week, to make, we have to work together in one project. It could be anything. But once a week, during the 5 days we are together, we have to do something together. So we created this Wednesday, free Wednesday. It was to do personal projects. So it was really nice because we made some products to sell in some markets. We participated in some exhibition of interior design exhibition. So it was really nice because I said, no, it could work. I mean, even not just like sometimes we expect clients to come, but sometimes we can propose, I mean, products, or we can propose a manifesto that after it will just like bring attention and bring clients. So it was probably the beginning. And also, in the beginning, I had more time to be in the projects. I mean, and how can I say? I was serious at the time. Nowadays, I'm also serious about dealing with engineers, about construction sites. But I mean, probably nowadays, I can deal with more in less time or with more complexity than to at just like 10 years ago. I mean, but at the time I had to do step by step, but it was really good to go deep in each project and know that I could count on friends to help me, and also with why not involve clients in the process, because in the end it was the process of doing architecture to design, it's not so easy. I mean, I have a drink and I'm projecting. I mean, there is also a story about Niemeyer. He made a project of a casino here in Belo Horizonte, our town, in one night. I mean, so I'm not like him, but I mean, I have to work harder maybe. But I probably the difference between that Marcus 10 years ago, it's how to deal with complexity without having a lot of headaches or without melting my brain, you know?
Or sleepless nights.
Yes, exactly.
But it sounds super interesting having one day of the week just for yourself and just figuring out what you feel like doing or what would make you happy and sell that product. That's super cool. I saw in the Detail magazine a beautiful one single family home that you designed. How do you start your design process?
All right.
Do you have, maybe you can explain it by hand of an example?
Maybe this one, it's a great example. Probably the best, one of the best clients, and they became friends. you know?
It looks really, really awesome. I would love to live there.
So there's a story about it, because sometimes when you're a young architect, we have to show from renderings or from sketches to convince your clients, right, about this is possible. In this particularly work, this house, I made with the first project I made with my wife was our own house. So it was like a lab. We tried to experiment a little bit. And during this construction site, we invited some students to come here. We made there's open visit day if you want to to see our construction site, because we were receiving so many mails, not so many, but several mails. So we say, no, we organize open visit days to explain about our construction site, because everything it's just like, it's not really in relation with brutalism, but it's also because we have concrete slabs that you can see the system, the infrastructure, everything. It's really it's didactic. If you see, you understand about infrastructure, electric pipes and everything, the connections. So it was really nice, because in one of those visits, there was this friend of an old colleague of my wife from school, and she said, I want to build a house with my fiance at the time, but now husband, and I want to do exactly the same, right? I have a shortened deadline to this house, and we would like to do in steel structure. And at the time I was studying during my master's in Ouro Preto, the town I was yesterday visiting, exactly steel structure, steel construction. So and it was really a good alliance I've been meeting between clients and architects, because they already knew what they want was, we want your house. But we know that each context is completely different. I mean, we have to see the sun, how would this structure arrive there, who is going to fabricate it, how is going to be, I mean, under this earth, is it proper to build off or not? So there's this, the loads of everything. But in the end, it was really nice, because they were already convinced before any line. So it was really cool. I mean, the approach of the client, because they said, we want exactly like this, and we are open to your design.
But that's super rare
to
find someone that trusts you and just says, okay, I trust you 100%. I know that you're going to do a great job.
Yeah, but I mean, after this house and our house, we invited photographers to take the register. So it's completely different when you say, this is a rendering, this is a sketch, and this is a photo. Because a photo, there's a time, all right? So there's a lot of, you have to deal with a lot of paperwork to the construction site, days, weeks, sometimes years. In our cases, the both construction sites, they were just like some months. And when you show pictures to possible clients, they say, oh, that's okay, they will manage it. They make more, they are more not proud of, or the expectations are higher, and even, no, this is possible, you know? So it's quite different. Besides showing renderings, you show photos, because photos also have this compromise about construction. So it's nice. There's a truth. Even we don't like to make just like the best. I mean, we hire really good photographers, but we want to show real life, not just like makeup, you know?
Yeah. With what CAD program do you draw? Archicad, Revit?
Not yet.
Rhino.
We deal with AutoCAD and also SketchUp. We deal also with hand drawing a lot. Since my second, first year of architecture school, I started to give workshops of hand drawings and sketches. And I really, it's a method of mine, not of my wife. And nowadays, we are not proper associate, but we are dealing nowadays with 21 projects together. So it's quite an associate, isn't it? She has her process. Mm-hmm. I have mine, and it's nice to mix it. Sometimes mm-hmm. we deal with physical models, sometimes directly in 3D models. And it's nice because we are involving collaborators that know more about BIM process and probably will make this shift about doing. Sometimes during my master, I studied this, learn by doing, and the collateral effects related in some buildings, in some process of open design like this. But learn mm-hmm. by doing, it's all in our about being architects, because 500 years ago, we were learning inside the construction site. So learning by doing, it's a good philosophy, I mean.
How important is the aspect of tradition for you? And how do you translate tradition into your modern architectural design?
Mm-hmm. All right. I told you about sun, right?
Yeah.
Observating sun. When you... not you, I mean you, Therese, but when we are designing, we don't have to think about our buildings as an isolated object. If we are inside a city, we have to see in a broader context. I mean, who is in the surroundings? When you are in the mountains, you have to respect it. You have to respect the nature itself. I mean, if we go... also 500 years ago, who were here in Brazil, really the origin people? They were the indigenous, right? So they used to have a knowledge about working and building inside our country with light structures in a good relationship with nature. For me, it's really a great tradition to build like them. So when we mm-hmm. nowadays we try to do steel structures, they are not so aggressive with the terrain. There's also a thinking about going 500 years ago. So there's an intelligence about construction that it's not only related to the Portuguese bricks. I mean, there were another knowledge about people. They or just like the it's worldwide. It works like this, how it's in Africa, how it's in Southeast Asia. There's just like a line in our world, and there's a climate that it's more suitable to our context. So this is in a larger view, probably the best tradition to respect. But there's mm-hmm. also this tradition of the context. Who are the people living there in nowadays? How to understand this culture? How to understand those people? To not just like put an UFO, just to transplant a concept from Europe to Brazil or yeah. to... So for me, respecting tradition, it's related with respecting nature and also culture. It's complex, but I mean, you have to be also present to and more open, I mean.
Mm-hmm. In what direction is architecture going? I mean, there are more than 300 million tons of plastic produced globally each year, and less than 10% are recycled. So the rest becomes just waste. And this waste is just dumped into landfills and the ocean. So pointing towards the future, I would rather ask you, in what direction must architecture go? Or how would you like to see the future?
All right. So first of all, during this pandemic time we are dealing with, there are so many deliveries, right? a package going out there. So you ask for a pizza, you ask for something, for everything comes on a pack, and after it goes to waste, and after where is it going? Dealing with garbage and waste, it's a major thing we have to deal with. It's not somebody's problem, right? So probably in the future, we have to be more, independent and responsible with our planet, really. So you don't have, you want to live in a mountain outskirts from, you say, how it's going to have electricity? How it's going to have water? So deal with it. How it's going to provide food? Sometimes you have to grow your own food, but you have to also to be responsible with your own waste. When you see each person, all right. But when you deal with millions of person, it's more complex, isn't it? I mean, a possible shift, in my opinion, about dealing with waste, recycle it. In kindergarten, teach children these aspects about love, about respecting each other, about poverty, about dealing with waste. And after we can make a larger shift, because sometimes it's not in the, they are not teaching it. Those, for a better future, you have really to understand that the kids, it's just like a sponge. They are asking for complexity. When you think, no, complexity, and they are the best learners at all. So in my opinion, to have a better future, I don't know the answer of the garbage right now. It could be punctual, but to be more effective, in my opinion, it's dealing with education, with kids, to understand that they are the future adults and they must be prepared. Because otherwise, if I just have this compromise with my present, in 10 years, 20, I don't know how many years, I will not be here. So probably the best is to pass in the best and the more transparent way. And sometimes it's a polemic to say how to deal with it. But we have to not to escape from these answers. It's not what I'm trying to do right now. But in my opinion, to deal with it in the basis, in the kindergarten, when we are kids, and probably it will be in our consciousness about dealing with nature. It's also related to tradition, because in this last also 400 years, we are so many our occupations, we don't have time. We have all the time, it's industry, technology, producing waste. But when you go back, we are striving back to low tech technology, to more connection with nature. It's baby steps, but it's already being done. So,
So education is a good point, but don't you think we should rethink this whole building world, this whole construction world? Because I don't think that we will build our projects like we do it right now, consisting out of millions of little parts that are sold.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's a good way to build in the future. And shouldn't we even look further towards the future by having nature as an example? So there are a lot of materials found in nature, like trees or even an apple or some skeletons from insects. So maybe we should rethink this whole construction world and all the cycle that's going on. So synthesizing biomaterials, for example, that match the biological world. How do you think about that?
I agree with you. firstly about observing nature, right?
Yeah, so maybe in the future we don't build projects, we grow them.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. It's possible. And also, when we are dealing with steel structures, the structure design, one of the best resolution about economic structures, it's really the nature itself. When you have the branches of a tree, or also, as you say, insect, the structures of this. So some years ago, Pierluigi Nervi, the Italian structure design, they made beautiful things observing nature.
Yeah.
So first, I agree with you at all. And also, but I thought about not construction also. I mean, there's in downtown of our city, and also in São Paulo, in Brazil, that's a reality because we have a vacancy of buildings around 50% downtown. They are not like Detroit, but it's quite of emptiness, or some buildings that are not, they don't have any use.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have also a demand for social housing. It's almost the same number, but those buildings, they are already there inside downtown with every commerce, the public markets, jobs, churches. I mean, there's parks. And why we are building outside, outskirts, selling, and also dealing with already obsolete buildings, but mm-hmm. we don't understand that there are a lot of buildings already built. They just have to be more open for those peoples. Or maybe we must, just like in our country, to have this political resolution that those vacancy will be for those people. We don't have mm-hmm. to be, sometimes we don't have to build more. Sometimes it's just to see the numbers or to see, oh, the answer is really already built. So
yeah.
It's like...
So you have a lot of shells there that are not used and that are waiting for a recovery, but nobody cares.
Exactly, exactly. Because it's better to sell more.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you think what can we do to just turn around this whole direction?
Well, there's a lot of communities or people, they are occupying those places. So it's a manifest itself mm-hmm. already being done. Once I was in Germany, 10 or 11 years ago, there was a artist place. It was a squat, right? It was Takelis, I believe it was the name. There was bars, there was exhibition of artists in Berlin. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, it's really cool. It's happening right now. And the artist, he told me, oh, there was an abandoned place. Here you can go. Here is a place that it's our house. So we try to have a privacy. But it's open. There is in Colombia, Venezuela, and Brazil, all over the country, occupations that they are really, if the political mayor or political government or president won't shift, communities will shift it themselves because they are aware. We don't want to live outskirts without anything, about infrastructures, because we want to be in neighborhoods. Neighborhoods, mm-hmm. it's people, parks, grocery stores. I mean, there's bars, there's parks, sports. This is life. This is architecture. This is neighborhoods. So when mm-hmm. you just like try to just like to stamp blocks to and expect that people will live there, you don't respect complexity, right?
Mm.
So in my opinion, our communities itself in a radical occupation, just like squatting or sometimes really hundreds of people occupying. Already in our town, we have Occupation Carolina de Jesus inside downtown in a abandoned building. They occupied and they are, how can I say, they self-organized each task, who is going to leave each gross area of for each family. So it's probably a response, a faster way without dealing with paperwork and without expecting that someone will take this responsibility. Because sometimes when we expect too much, we don't have the answers.
That's a really good point that you mentioned. Hopefully in the future something will change. But till then, maybe you should just do something about it yourself and don't wait for someone else to do it for you.
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
What do you think about the relationship technology relating to artificial intelligence, and should we fear it or embrace it, our relationship to technology?
I mean, there's so many algorithms dealing with in our mobile phones, hearing us all the time. It could be also, it can help us. I mean, when we are just like strolling in reference, there's a lot of things coming that will help us even to show clients possible reference. There's also artificial intelligence in order to save energy. I mean, our homes, I mean, we don't have to be online all the time. So how can we save energy dealing with this? And there's a lot of things that AI is helping us. And I mean, sometimes I also brought a book. I mean, it's Ideas to Postpone the End of the World. It's Ailton Krenak, he wrote it. It was a gift I had really before the pandemic. It was a birthday gift. And he talks about nature. And sometimes when we see AI relating with AI, sometimes it develop not abstract, because I believe it's also real, but there's just like a rhythm, connections between AIs that is really closest to nature. Some of the response that we see artists dealing with AI, they are fast, really fast learners, aren't they? But it's nice to see that some results reflects of when we see microscope some fungus or some cells of ourselves. So it's really nice to see when you expect technology to answer with some images or relationships that would be so just like aliens, but not at all. Sometimes we have some impressions or some similarities with things we've already seen. I mean, in biology. Answering you, I believe we must embrace it, because if we are just like embrace, not just like being fervors, they will have all the answers. No, but how can we work together maybe? Or how can they work for us and save time for us to make, for example, just like you said, I want to make yoga, but I don't have time. But maybe AI will deal with all this paperwork, legislation, and I will deal with how can I bring people to these resolutions, or how can I deal, because AI, how can, I don't know really, how it will talk to us. I mean, how, will it just like make us as a garbage, just like, or it will replace us? I just saw some days ago the Blade Runner of 2049. In order to prepare myself for AI, I don't know, but I don't have an answer for it. But I mean, if we don't be aware of what's happening, it's being naive. It's not a really problem to be naive, but sometimes it's nice to know what's happening. Being a teacher for me, it's really cool because I have to update myself, the way I speak, what they want to learn. I have to update each week. So it's really cool because otherwise, could you imagine in 10 years from now, I would be making the same hand drawings or maybe these drawings will be made by those computers and I will just like be thinking about other things. And there's not a problem because they are already doing it. I mean, there's you can say.
And at what point would it become really scary? I mean, the scenario you drawing here sounds really good.
Oh.
In my mind, that would be the perfect relationship. But who takes care of this situation that it stops at that point and not goes even further? So that we're replaced and then we're useless to AI.
Yeah, exactly. Because at a certain point, that AI could just like think about us. So you are just exploiting so much our planet and we want to be here. We don't want you guys over here.
Yeah.
So there's those scary scenarios, right? And I mean, it could be really our future. So in this scenario, if you say to me, oh, this is our scenario for tomorrow. So I will say just like carpe diem, really enjoy your day today because maybe tomorrow you won't be here. I rather... not being just like positive all the time, but what can we do nowadays in order to change our future, to be to make a change, make a shift? For me, nowadays maybe it's dealing with education, making better schools for future better citizens, or open dialogues with students in architecture school. In order to then not try to do all the times only fancy objects, the next new museum. No, try to do the next renovation of downtown right now. Why are we neglecting those problems that we can really make a difference right now? But of course, don't be so narrow-minded to not really embrace technology, but be aware or be... You have to, I mean, there's a curve of apprenticeship that you have when we are younger. You have to share ideas, share, so this way you can learn faster. So when we, so there's a philosophy of our works, because if I was just like here at my notebook, working hard without talking with anyone, I would be just like this narrow person. I don't want to talk with anyone. But if I want to work with other people, even in projects that I don't know, I will learn with them about some subject. But probably I would, in the best scenarios, would be just like working with AI. I would, for me, it would be really nice if it go towards this way. But I don't know.
It would be really cool if we become a cyborg, like if we have some implants, and then there's nothing. We have the AI in our bodies, so there's not a robot or something, but we become one. That would be cool.
But you know, there is exists already. There's two Spanish artists. They made some implants, and they can just like kinesthetic have a relationship and perceptions of the earth that they would never have without those implants. So I mean, there's already not only those two Spanish, there's a lot of artists.
And Elon Musk already said that we are kind of like cyborgs, we have our cell phone in our hands or close to our heart or in our pocket. It's not in our body, but we have it around 24/7, kind of like.
Yeah.
So that would be just the next step that probably comes sooner or later.
And I just like to know, I'm the interviewer. I mean, after making so many interviews, do you have a perception about your view of this future? After those steps you made, how it's for you the future of AI in relation with architecture or cities?
I have a vision, I have a dream maybe, that we could use AI to use it for our world in terms of you can not decide if it's man-made or nature-grown. It's just a natural world, but you use AI, the highly intelligent technology, just to copy nature. So we all live in a nature world in peace. Ha ha.
And that would be really cool.
But that's what I mentioned earlier. Like, if you see a skeleton, so why don't we just use nature, copy it, synthesizing biomaterials and build naturally grown things?
We are constructing sometimes as the same way ages ago, right? Adding material, I mean, adding bricks with concrete or with some interaction between rocks or bricks.
Yeah.
And why not? I believe it could be a good answer. There was a time I was researching a little bit about cybernetics, because there's also about this interaction of not only of this black box, right? Of the, there's also Wilhelm Flusser discussing about it. How is it for this black box of a camera? But how is it also for a DJ putting music? It's a instantaneous interaction. If they are dancing, they are enjoying. If nobody's moving, you have to shift it. So in time of architecture, we have to sometimes answer faster, because if we have the same answers of ages ago, we will build already obsolete buildings. So it will not be the best scenarios to make so many partitions, and that's why we have empty buildings in downtown of our town and worldwide. So probably we can really observe, what have you already done about infrastructure, about flexible places that can be really open to this community that it's really shifting in a faster way than our buildings. So in the first point, maybe this could be the first step, but how could we also embrace our, I don't know, dialogue with technology without putting apart, because otherwise they will put us apart, maybe. I don't know.
Yes. But architecture becomes so complicated that I don't know if that makes sense anymore. It's so complicated that you don't need it. So for me, it would be great if architecture would go back a little bit and goes back to the basics again. And that design those biomaterials that connect with your surrounding, with the sun, with the weather, and it just changes with the surroundings. You don't need all the heating or whatever, or the air conditioning, because the material itself can work with the sun and cools down or whatever. That would be really great. That would be so awesome.
Sometimes that's why these shifts already happening, when we see just like light structures or construction with earth, that you have a better relationship of thermic. I went to France some years ago and there was about how it's these walls. There was mushroom walls. There was a lot of things really cool at Pavillon de l'Arsenal. It was really cool, mm-hmm. this exhibition, because it was how we, can we embrace nature in our buildings, really deal with it.
Yeah.
Because here in Brazil, it's complicated. I mean, it's less complicated to deal with nature, because there, even Le Corbusier, when he came here, he said, no, you are so gifted, because if you really make a good shadow, you have a good architecture. And mm-hmm. when you see Brazilian architecture after the modernism, it's dealing with shadow. I mean, concrete slabs, steel slabs, Paulo Mendes da Rocha, or many others architects, it's dealing with shadow. So, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And dealing with sometimes with earth materials. And maybe going back, you do good architecture. When you sometimes you are so fascinated about technology, when we are so fascinated about technology, doing high tech, why not go back to low tech? Maybe AI will help us just to open our mind to, oh, go back, or just like Ailton Krenak and also Lina Bobardi, that she received some after her death, but this year she received this prize at Biennale of Venice. And I even brought this book, because there are two new books about her biography, right? And it's nice how to embrace our own culture or our own technology, or how really to understand how can we build with the nature, not mm-hmm. just exploiting it. Maybe I talked about nature today with you, and I really enjoyed that your observations after so many interviews, it's also dealing with nature, right?
I mean, we have a responsibility, and at the end, we should choose wisely what we are to become.
Yeah.
And I want to choose that vision, that we live with nature hand in hand, and maybe making nature our only customer someday, when the people are ready for it. Last question.
Right.
What means?
I'm afraid.
What means architecture for you personally?
No. Because during this week I was thinking about it, about time, about shadow, about being present, dealing with present time, and also the responsibility to the future. This complexity could be an answer for architecture, dealing with people or the people that are going to be using those cities, those buildings. And I somehow I remembered about John Cage. He made a composition about four minutes and 33 seconds of silence, and that is his composition, right? It was 4 minutes of silence, and that's quite a manifesto. So I don't know, I won't just like make now, my answer is 4 minutes of silence, but maybe a tip for myself, it's once we are dealing with clients and sometimes we lose our way, we have to have this goal of architecture dealing not with ourselves, but in a larger context and concept that we have to build for the others, you know, of a larger context, or for mm-hmm. even if it's a house, it's not sometimes the house you are going to live, it's your client is going to live there. If it's a building, even better, because there will be children, there will be a lot of things happening there. and try to, it's really good. I mean, architecture for me, it's also remember that you are not alone in this world. It's not only your observation, it's also being open to hear, just like right now. It's really cool because we are talking, I'm here in Brazil, you're in Germany, and I really enjoy what your observations in about architecture. And I was, being a narrow-minded and not wanted to talk, for me it would be not a good architect. In my opinion, dealing with architecture is being open to talk, I mean, to, and we sometimes we answer with drawings, to observations, to manifestos. There's a lot of ways of responding or of answering it.
That's a really good answer.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Marcos, thank you so much that you took the time to be on my podcast. It was super inspiring and I had a really great time. Thank you.
Oh, I thank you. Thank you so much. In Portuguese we say obrigado, muito obrigado. So really, really thanks.
It sounds really nice. That was this week's episode of What's Next? Rethinking Architecture. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. It was a super inspiring talk with Marcos Franchini. And as always, I am thrilled to get your comments, to get your suggestions and your opinions. So please leave a message and subscribe to the podcast. Till next time on What's Next? Ciao, ciao!